So, we're starting a new series on Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. And our heart's desire going into this year around Ephesians is very much the letter of the letter that Paul wrote to Ephesus, the Ephesians. I also hope that that is a letter that can be spoken over this church, right? And my hope is that there would just be a reshifting in our identity, and through that comes new unity. And in this year, we will see God's will just translate in the church in the way in which he intended. So we'll be going through this. There's six chapters and we'll be alternating. But our heart's desire is really that you'd be able to just hear Jesus, just hear God's will, and just feel the power of the Holy Spirit in the series for you as individuals, as a family, and for us as a church. All right. So as we start the series, bow your heads and let's pray and let's get started. So Father God, I thank you that we can laugh. Lord, I thank you that we can be here as a community. Lord, I thank you for your word. And this morning, I pray that your word and your word alone would be spoken. As we start the series, Lord, I pray that there would just be a reshaping of our identity. I pray that there would be a binding of us as a community in unity. And through that, you will have your will. Through that, we may be secure. Through that, we would come under a church in the way in which you intended. Bless the hearts and the ears that hear this message this morning. I pray you open eyes, you open hearts for your word to be spoken. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so just a bit of background around Ephesians. So I told you it is six chapters. It's written by Paul to Ephesians. You need to understand, and this is important because I'm going to come back to it, but Paul was under house arrest at this stage when he wrote this letter. And it is between AD 57 and AD 60, and he writes this letter. And when you read some of Paul's letters, often what he's doing is he's writing a letter to address a dilemma in the church, in a particular church. He's writing to address a crisis. But this is different. This is a different letter in what you can refer to it actually being a circular letter. And what I mean by that is even though the letter was written to the Ephesians, really, when you read this letter, you can see Paul under house arrest, AD 57, AD 60, and he's writing that, and that very well could have been a letter to Enjoy Life Church. That could have been a letter for the church at large. And really, what it's trying to do is not necessarily address a crisis, but what it's doing is it's speaking vision. It's there to mold and shape people. It's there to set out a big idea that is really setting the foundation of identity, and then from identity, the outworking of that. So what you're seeing over there is first addressing identity, and when you address identity, it translates to practice. And when you address grace, it translates to obedience. And when you address belonging, it translates to behavior. And that's what you're going to see in this book over the season, right? And Paul writes this, and I really want you to think about this man under house arrest writing this letter with you in mind. When you think of it, the breakdown under the six chapters, the first three chapters starts off with getting identity and belonging right. Identity in Christ. Who we are, that can be settled. And then once that's settled, all other things follow. It's the outworking of our identity that goes into chapters 4, 5, and 6. Okay, so if you're only here for today, that is the 2-minute overview of Ephesians, but you need to be here for all the weeks so that you can really just dig down deep. You know what I'm going to say next is there's homework for you. Read the book of Ephesians as we go through the series. Allow the word to stir up in you so that you too have got questions. You too can have the word speak to you. And then it just comes all together when we come together as a body. Unity is going to be spoken in this. And that's really what my hope is for you. So it's homework, but it's an invitation. Just open it up. It's six chapters. Read it, and you'll be amazed at the letter that has been written for you. But today, where we're going to start is at the very beginning. Ephesians 1, verses 1 to 14. And I'm gonna go into the text over here, and then we'll break it down. I'm gonna give you a little spoiler alert. Not a spoiler alert, you should be excited. I believe that if you don't remember my 3 points today, you and I gotta have a conversation, right? Spoiler alert, my 3 points today involve a plan, involve a man, and involve a promise. And you can say, okay, that's very eloquent, PJ. You've been thinking about this. I checked it with my wife last night. I'm gonna make you remember it even easier. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Okay, you cannot forget it. Next week, or the following week when I preach again, I hope that you remember it. You're going to remember when we kicked off Ephesians, you're going to remember the 3 points. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The plan, the man, the promise. All right. Okay. Come with me to your Bibles. Ephesians 1, verses 1 to 14. This is a long passage, but I don't want to brush past it. So we're going to go through it, and then we're going to break it down. Okay. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purposes of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished, can you say with me, lavished, upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, we're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Lord, bless your word this morning. That was long. Some of the original text, when you look at it, it actually removes punctuation from verses 3 to 14. We'll touch on that. So Paul introduces himself. But it's really where I want to focus today is verses 3 to 14. Before any instruction, before any, this is what you must do, before any correction, before any of that, Paul starts off with worship. Verses 3 to 14 is just one long text of worship. When you look at that, Paul, before he teaches us anything, he's telling us something. That when we grasp with understanding, not just head, but with heart, the love, the plan, and the purpose that God has for you, our response is not action, it's adoration. It's adoration. All but we can do, when we understand the love of a Father that he has for us, is we can just come down in a position of adoration. We fall into a posture of praise. And that's where he starts off. You'll see over here. It's blessed be God the Father. and our Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes through and through and through, and it ends off to the praise of his glory. This is a worship song. And Paul's been intentional over here. This isn't just trying to be poetic. This isn't just trying to convey something sweet. It is one long, breathless narrative of who God is, what his plan is, and how we should be living it out because of what's been done. Right? Over there, God is doing a profound work through that word. When we have that understanding, and I don't like the word of understanding because when we say understanding, we automatically go to our head. But it needs to grasp. We need to clutch with wholehearted understanding, our heart and our mind. And when you understand what's been done, all we can do is but fall to our knees and worship. So before instruction, before let's where we go, Paul starts off in worship. Understand that that's going to be setting the foundation for everything that is to come in this series, a posture of worship. Do you understand what the Father has done for you? Do you understand the love that he has lavished upon you? In the NIV at the end of verse 5, it speaks over there with pleasure. You know when you give something or when you receive something, you say thank you and someone says it was a pleasure. Imagine receiving the lavish gift of what God's done for you and then he says it's with pleasure. Right. But within this worship song, within this worship that Paul has done, inside there, it makes reference to three things. It speaks of the plan of the Father. It speaks of the sacrifice of the Son, and it speaks to the presence of the Holy Spirit, which lays the foundation for my 3 points today. Right, let's start off with the first point. The Father God. Our story started with God, not with us. Okay, I want to start there. If we go back to verses 4, it says here, verse 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Before we heard, before we thought, before we made a decision, and before we believed, God was at ready at work. Before God said in Genesis, let there be light, understand that there was a perfect plan for you, Dan. There was a plan for each and every one of you by a master designer who has so much love for his people. And it's important. Again, it's not coincidence that Paul starts with this. What he's doing is he's making sure that you understand that our story is above us. Our story started outside of us. There was a Father who has so much lavishing love for each and every one of you. And before they even said, let there be light, there was a plan that he was putting together. And there's a reason he does that. Because when we understand that salvation was not necessarily our choice, but more so the pursuit of a loving Father for you, all of a sudden what you do is there's no place for pride. There's no place for the pride. You have to lay the pride down. And in the laying down of the pride, all you can do is praise. In verses 6, it says over here after it, it goes, to the praise of his glorious grace. All you can do is praise. And we have to touch on this point because a couple of times in this text, it speaks of predestined. And this always becomes a contentious thing in the church. It's like, well, you know, what's your stance on predestination? I'm telling you, my wife loves this saying, it's a red herring. I don't know if you've heard that. It's a distraction. Because there's a separation. Because if you step into the realm of, well, whatever decision I make, it doesn't matter because God is in control. That's wrong. When we speak about something being predestined, you need to understand that there was a plan, Dana, that you were chosen. And in that plan, that grand plan, you have a choice to be in that plan. But you and you alone have that choice to decide, am I going to be in or am I going to be out? So just because before the words were spoken, let there be light, understand that this master plan included you, but it is still your decision that you have to believe. And through that, you get to be part of this master plan, the perfect plan, the plan in where you'll find life. And the posture that comes from there is there's no position of pride. There's no position of performance, but instead, it's a posture of praise. God, thank you that you thought of me. Thank you that you loved me so much before I could even grasp the concept. Thank you that my salvation is not fragile. Because when I tell you that there was a plan for you, this isn't there to stir confusion. This isn't just something for me to say, well, you know, is it my choice? Is it God's choice? I'm not sure. I'm a bit unsettled. That's not the case. What you need to understand is that this starts to usher in the theme of assurance. The theme of assurance. All of a sudden, you realize that your identity isn't fragile. Your identity is firmly rooted in a plan that transcends you. All of a sudden, what you realize is that your salvation was not an afterthought. It means that just because you messed up, God didn't have to react and say, oh, what am I going to do now? It is always baked in to a plan of redemption. And you need to realize that your life isn't coincidence. Your life isn't an afterthought. It's not a back of a napkin design. It was intentional. There was initiative from a master craftsman. The word initiative, your life was initiated by God. Your salvation and the story of redemption did not rely on you, but relied on the master plan of a father. Paul takes his time to spend first you understanding who God is, what his plan is, and because of that plan, how you're going to live out your life. All right, you understand. It's important. We can't move past this. This is us setting down the concrete that's going to cure now for the purposes, not only for this series, but the purpose of our understanding of our identity in God. All right, the second point is the Son. Everything that we receive in the kingdom is through Jesus. If the first... Oh, here's a cliffhanger. My mouth's dry. It's because I didn't have ice cream on Thursday. It's a joke. Ice cream always makes you thirsty. So, the second part is the Son. Everything that we receive in the kingdom is through Jesus. I had said verses 3 to 14 was this worship song. Praise be to God, this worship song. And if that is this worship song that Paul scripted, the word Jesus in some way, shape, or form is the drumbeat of every single verse of that worship song. 3 to 14, there are 12 verses. 12 times there is reference to Jesus. When I was reading it, you'd speak about in him. And you need to understand that that is intentional. It's in him that you have your salvation. It's in him that you have life. It's in him that you have a relationship with God. And it's that beat that goes along. For the drummers in the group over here, you understand that drum at the bottom. I don't even know what it's called, but the one that you kick, that's the one. The bass drum, it's the bass of this worship song. Jesus, 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 in him. And you go through over here. Naomi, please, next slide. I want to break it down. If you just look in just the pieces of here, is in Christ, in him, in his blood. Realize that in this passage, in Christ, we have adoption. In Christ, we have unity and hope. In him, we have redemption and we have our inheritance. And in his blood, we have forgiveness. That's what's laid out over there. The big bass drum that's just beating the name. Understand that everything we have is through Jesus. Yes. Now, when you join a club, I don't know, think of a club that you join, Glenora Club or the Derek over here or a gym club, whatever. Usually when you sign up for a membership, you'll get like a welcome package. Maybe the welcome package isn't paper. Maybe now it's like electronic. But inside there, it'll tell you what level of membership you have. Like, have you got the essentials package? Have you got the platinum package? And have you got echelon? Right? I don't know. It could be, you can call whatever it is, but there's always tiers to this. But what you've got to understand is that when we, as believers, as Christians, as real hard-hearted Christians, it's not what we access from our faith. It's not like a list of things that, well, you know, like now I get this and now I get that and now I get this. No. The important part over there is that what we get is a relationship with a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. Okay, so when you understand that that relationship is there, that relationship that we get, that access is a relationship with Him, not just any Him, with Jesus Christ, all other things flow. Our grace, our peace, our hope, and our joy. All of these things start to flow through a relationship with Jesus. And unlike this relation, or unlike the package that you would get as part of some club, it's not like, well, you're at this tier, and you're at that tier, and you're at this tier. We're all echelon packages. It's all been lavished upon us, right? And you need to understand that as you go through this, this isn't something that you've now missed. It just starts with a relationship with Jesus. When you understand that you have that relationship with Jesus, you gain access to a reunited redemption plan with God. And through that, all things are lavished. Can you say the word lavished? I love the idea of lavished. I grew up in a family that loves butter. And I lavish my butter across my toast when I'm not fasting. I lavish it so much that I love it when it's cold toast and you bite in and you can see your teeth. That's how much I go. And I know butter's getting expensive, but I just can't help it. You've got to lavish the butter across the toast. And you need to understand that God has lavished His love across each of you. Yes. And all you can do is fall to your knees and say, thank you, God. Yeah. And it's because Jesus went up on the cross. Yeah. It's because God spared nothing, a part of that original plan, so that you may have relationship with Him. Understand that blood poured out. That blood poured out. It was lavished across the cross so that you may be forgiven and there may be redemption and there may be hope and there may be life. You understand that. Don't misunderstand the position and the importance of Jesus. It is the linchpin to all of us. When we have that relationship, we have so much more. And what you start to realize is it's not about necessarily our salvation and our identity is not necessarily beholden to what we've done. Or maybe what's been done to us. Or maybe your actions or things that you failed to do. Your identity is founded in a relationship with Jesus. You know what that means? That no matter what you've done, no matter what's happened to you, no matter the pain and the hurt and the suffering or the sin and how bad you think you are, remember, you are part of the echelon package and you have everything. Which means that the master craftsman God, when He designed this plan and He sees you now, He doesn't see your sin, Brad. Well, I don't know if you have any sin, but He doesn't see your sin, Brad. He doesn't see who you, He sees Jesus, and He sees the price that was paid on your life that has been lavished across. And in that way, you have firm identity in which you can walk free. Yeah. How many of you want to walk into 2026 with freedom, yeah, with the firm foundation of who you are and what you stand in? Yeah. That's available because of what's been lavished across your life. Yeah, come on. The kids are even hearing it. What did I say this morning? Get a vibe, man. Come on. Paul in verse 10 says, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven, things on earth. As a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, Jesus, things in heaven and things on earth. You need to understand, Jesus is not in the business of saving you and me. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Jesus is redeeming and he's just reclaiming the entire story of creation. He's connecting heaven and earth, everything in union, everything in unity. And in that big story, in that powerful story, we are swept up in it. We get to be part of it. If I had to sit here to you today and say, guys, I'm telling you now that you get to be part of something special. You get to be part of something bigger than yourself. You get to be part of something that is a cosmic story. A cosmic story that is universal. A cosmic story that is universal. Do I have to beat the drum again? That's what you get to be part of. That's what you get to be part of. Not by your own doing, but because the blood of Jesus was lavished across your life. And all you can do is not stand there and say, look what I've done. All you can do is fall to your knees and say, praise be to God. And that's what Paul's trying to get across in this text. And the last one is the Holy Spirit. Verses 13. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. You understand there, we speak about all these things over here that speaks about you were predestined and there's this plan that exists. But I love 13 because 13 comes back and says, in him, in Jesus, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation and believed. So you need to hear and you need to believe. And then you get access to the echelon package. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. The Holy Spirit over there speaks to two things, a seal and a deposit. The seal speaks to us being marked, that we are marked and we belong. Not that we're better, but we belong. When I was preparing this week, I couldn't help but thinking, in South Africa, you get Ocean Basket, okay? And Ocean Basket, the two most expensive things that cost me to go to South Africa are the air tickets and Ocean Basket. Okay, Ocean Basket, man, freshest seafood. I don't want to get distracted about that. It's not really important, but they serve seafood, only seafood. They specialize in it. And it's a great place. If you've been over there, make sure you go over there. It's like, oh man, it's amazing. And then you get Fisherways, which is also a seafood place. The thing is, growing up, when we attended Ash Wednesday, so Ash Wednesday, what they do is they put the ashes on your forehead. And this is the start of Lent in the Catholic Church. Well, what you do is you go in the evening and they put the ashes on. And then it's Ash Wednesday, so you can't eat meat. You got to eat seafood. So what do? You go to Ocean Basket or you go to Fisherways. But the beautiful thing is, I'm telling you, I promise you, it is something so cool to see, is every Catholic goes to Ocean Basket and Fisherways on Ash Wednesday. So you walk in the mall and you spot a guy with ashes and you're like, hey, buddy, Good. You know, he's not even part of your parish. And you're just like, man, we belong. You know. And everybody's sitting over there eating their prawns and their hake and their chips with a nice lemon butter sauce, all these things. And everybody's looking over there and we all connected with these ashes on our head. Right? And that's what happens over there on Ash Wednesday. Well, let me tell you something, that all of us have got the seal of the Holy Spirit on our life when we have heard and we believe. That is a deposit, the second part. A deposit is a commitment that what God started in your life will be finished. Right? Understand that we all get to walk with the seal. We've been marked with the Holy Spirit. We should be walking in malls, all of us, and just be recognizing each other by the joy on our faces, with the seal that's on our forehead, on our shoulders, not just something over here, but our whole body permeates the smell of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which sets us apart to say that we are marked. We belong. Do you understand the importance of belonging and the connection to a firm foundation in identity? When we belong and we know that we belong, there is assurance. There is assurance. And our assurance doesn't come from our consistency, because we know we will fail. Oh, we are weak. Our assurance comes from God's commitment. The deposit of the Holy Spirit in you. And it's because of that deposit that you have assurance that there's an inheritance waiting for you. Say with me, inheritance.
Inheritance.
Say with me, inheritance.
Inheritance.
Each and every one of you, notwithstanding the financial position of your parents, if you eagerly anticipate an inheritance, it pales in comparison to the inheritance that you will have in heaven.
Amen.
This Christmas, we were chatting to the kids, and Evan loves gems. Evan loves gold, diamonds, and gems. And we drive in one morning for breakfast, and we speak to them, do you know one day the roads are going to be paved with gems? And now we've got these kids, like they are intrigued. And you know, and Evan says, and will the houses be made of crystal? I'm like, man, there will be gold, just excessive gold. All these riches that we hold so tightly will be something we walk on in heaven. It goes to show you that you can't even comprehend the worldly value of what our inheritance is in heaven. And that inheritance is for all of us as believers. And that inheritance has been secured by the deposit of the Holy Spirit in each of you when you hear and you believe. And you understand, when you grasp the concept of inheritance, all you can do is fall on your knees and say, praise glorious God for thinking of me before you said, let there be light.
Amen.
Just a side story, when we were telling the kids over here, Victoria popped up and she said, I want to kill myself so I can go to heaven. And we're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not the point. There is purpose for you over here. And there were a couple of days we had to speak to them. That is not your time to go, right? Wrong takeaway from the message. It's something to look forward to, not something to dive into. All right. So, Lighthouse, if you're listening over here, your inheritance too. Your inheritance too. And I want to speak to all of you over here, because each and every one of you, you need to understand that there's a purpose for you. And I know you know that, but you need to understand that there is an amazing inheritance for you. And there's a plan for you, Eli. And there's a plan for you, Micah. And there's a plan for you too, Drew. But you need to understand. Guys, as we start this year, this is something that we should walk with a level of assurance in. Recently, I made a booking at an Italian restaurant. And you make your booking, it's on the website, like the general one that goes across Edmonton. And it comes to the end, and they're like, please put in your credit card details. I'm not going to put in my credit card details. And they're like, well, no, it's $50 per reservation. So it's $150 if there's a no-show. I'm like, well, I don't know if I'm going to show tomorrow night. Anything can happen. Mel might say she doesn't want Italian, and we have to go somewhere else. I'm not comfortable putting $50 for each reservation on the line. No, thank you. I'm going to go somewhere else. That's not with God. That's not with God. God is sure, and he's like, I'm coming back. I'm coming back for you, and I'm willing to pay that deposit. And that deposit was not cheap. It's not $50. That deposit cost his son. Where his blood was lavished on the cross for you. Yeah. Guys, when we start a series like this, we got to get a vibe, man. Yeah. And we've got to be assured that there is something special for each and every one of us. I'm going to wrap this up. I need to come back to the bigger picture. Come back to the bigger picture. God is good. That's not what I wanted to say. He is good. This piece of text is the cornerstone to the series. This piece of text speaks two things: identity and unity. Identity and unity. You're one of the biggest problems with people when they get confused. And I'm not going into what we've seen in the world. I am speaking about that, but I'm even speaking about ourselves, where we are unsettled, where we are feeling fragile, where we're standing over here at the beginning of 12 months of 2026, and you're like, Lord, I don't know how. Lord, where are you? Maybe even you fasted this week and you went in with good intentions, and maybe you didn't hear God, or maybe you feel that God didn't show himself to you this week. And I'm saying that you're missing the point. What I'm telling you is that when you are firmly rooted in your identity through Christ, in union with him, not just any him, Jesus Christ, right, you belong. You belong. You belong in God's plan. You belong in God's plan. And by belonging in God's plan, there is an inheritance for you. And in that inheritance, there is a surety. There is a confidence. Notwithstanding things that may come your way and rattle you. Notwithstanding circumstances where you may be saying, God, where are you? But just a resolute confidence that I belong. And then we speak about unity. God had a plan. Jesus made the sacrifice. And the Holy Spirit is present. And in the plan, and in the sacrifice, and in the presence, you know what we have? They're not just converting or giving us access to individuals. We get access to building of a people. God is not just saving you and I. He's building a people. He's building a people. What do I mean by that? It's not just about you and I. It's belonging to something. You need to understand that when we are saved, we're not saved from something, but we saved into something. We saved into a people. We saved into a body. We saved into a family. And we saved into the church, the bride, the important piece of God's plan. And the ideal functioning of the bride is just a taste of things to come. Because when we operate in the unity of the bride, when we operate in the unity of this house, of this body that we have been blessed in, held together by the common identity of Jesus, we have a way in which we can live together and we can live things out. Do you understand that? It is important. It is bigger than us. It is far bigger than us. It is cosmic. Universe earth, heaven, earth, all of it together that Jesus is reclaiming and we get access to. I'm going to invite the band to come up. You guys ready for 2026? You guys ready for the series? Naomi, if you can put that last slide on for me, please. I want to leave you with that. Because this isn't a story about individuals. Yes, we have our individual faith. But God's doing something far bigger. God's doing something in this church for this year. And it's something, I don't know what it is, but it's something about the beginning of January that may strike up some anxiety. That may strike up, oh, I got to get my New Year's resolutions done. I got to get my life in order. I got to unbox that treadmill. I got to hit a diet. This is what I'm going to do differently. I'm going to write these lists down. And we speak these things that we aspire. And we've got to start this year in the same way Paul started this book, which is a posture of praise. And you know why? It's because when we stand in a posture of praise, it's not something that is a head thing, but it's a heart thing. It's a heart thing because we understand what God's done. That before he spoke the words of let there be light, there was a plan for each and every one of you. And when you get that right, when you understand that, all things flow from that. That firm identity, that confidence and that swagger that you can walk through into 2026, all things flow from that. Because of your secured identity, that translates into active practice. Because of the grace that was lavished upon you, there stems obedience. And because you have the sense of belonging, there are now behaviors that start to translate and how we work as a body. My prayer for each and every one of you this year is that you are firmed up in your identity. And I want to speak to anybody over here today that might think that they're not enough. I'm telling you now, the fact that you're thinking that tells me that God is already working in your life. And I rebuke the lie of the enemy. Because what I want him to do is I want, by the power of the Spirit, to have your eyes opened to see the inheritance that's for you, the deposit that's been put on you, and the seal that is placed across your life. So that when you go to Ocean Basket or you go to Boston Pizza, you too can see a Christian and say, we belong. Our identity is in Christ. And we can stand over here and rejoice. Let's stand with a posture of praise. Amen.